in some different sessions know that I'm probably kind of confusing because I keep doing some different things, but it reflects my wide variety of interests, I think, in the church. But this is another one of my interests, music, songs. And I have, I think as everybody does, I have some concerns about music in the church. And when I titled it Song Leading, I actually do mean that, song leading. And so I might try to talk one or two of you into trying something here with this group. Kind of a small group, so we'll need to sing out to support each other when we do some things together. But we'll also do some conversation about song leading and music in the church. Well, I guess I'm just to introduce myself. I forgot mm-hmm. that. My name is April Allen Larson. That's for the little tape up there. And the title of this session is Song Leading in the Church and Giving the Song Back to the People. I'll give you just a little bit of my background in leading music in the church. Actually, first of all, I should tell you where I got my music background. I think people like to know that when you're talking about music. I went to Luther College for a couple of years. That's my dear husband.
You can be surprised now. You dear.
And studied music at Luther for a couple of years. I sang in Nordic with Weston Noble, and my interest was choral music. Transferred to Iowa City, sang with Dan Moll at Iowa City's Noah Oberlin. And then Judd and I were married right after I got out of college. He had 2 years left at Luther College, so I ended up back, of all things, back in my hometown when I married Judd. My parents had already left. And taught music at a Catholic school for a couple of years. I taught elementary music. I don't know a thing about elementary music. But I was so thrilled to get a job. It was so hard to get a job. And it was a wonderful experience because of those dear sisters. And then Judd and I went to seminary and went into the parish after that. And did some music, of course, with choirs in the parish. And strangely enough, in 1984, I was asked to be the song leader and choral director for the National Convention of Women in Detroit, Michigan. 3,000 or 4,000 women there. And I also had, for the first time in my life, 400 or 500 women in a choir. And I've always directed four part. I had never directed women. I mean, I'd always directed treble and bass, not just essentially treble clef music. And that was the first time in my life I'd ever gotten a migraine. That took me to an ophthalmologist because I had double vision. I've never had it happen to me since. But this, I got asked because some people had seen me do some music when I was in seminary with the church and thought I had the gifts to be the song leader for this monstrous convention, you know. And I had to teach about 25 brand new songs that people did not know. People did not know them at all. And you had to do it in short 3 or 4 minute segments. And then on the rest of the time I had 2 or 3 hours of choir rehearsal every day for 5 days, and then we did some music throughout the event. So it was really taxing, and I was about had a 4 month old nursing son at that time. It was very challenging. And lived through it. I mean, I had a ball. And then I was asked to direct the music and the choir at the Global Mission events in 1990, all three of them in the United States. Did a number of state and district things in between times. And then also did directed music for the Anaheim anniversary, 20th anniversary of the ordination of women. So I tell you that so you know that I have struggled with these kinds of issues in the church, and I have some real concerns about music in the church. I have watched music in our Bible camps, and I'm not talking about Holden at this time, but in our Bible camps really deteriorate. And I have some concerns about that. And I've watched our people move from most of them singing hymns to now many becoming what we call hymn watchers. They watch other people sing hymns, or they watch the books.
So this is a hot subject and lots of discussion in the church about worship.
But, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with you about that. There's a lot of people who have worked hard with this issue in the church and do a beautiful job of taking it on. I want to just preface it with, I'm always concerned that the music that we use, whether it be Bach or whether it be some of the old American hymns, or if it, and I mean American, I'm not talking about Lutheran, I'm just talking about broad-based sort of frontier hymns, or if they are gospel music, or if they are new contemporary music, that the theology would be solidly grace and have some good poetic images and some biblical images. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time about that, because I really think a poet or something like that could do a better job, or Richard Grindel or somebody like that could do a better job of talking about some of these things. But just to simply say that, I want to say that as a preface. I think the music that we need to do in the church, there's so much good music there, and sometimes we're a little lazy, or sometimes we don't bother to get some copyrights on it so we can use it. People are very easy to get copyrights from in almost all cases, and companies. Sometimes we get lazy on those ends. Just a simple writing a note, and sometimes there's a small fee, but sometimes there isn't. And if we need to get that, if you want to purchase a whole 500 hymn book, but you want to use one hymn to get that permission. And so those things are easy to do and can be carefully done. There's wonderful music in the church, and I'm talking about the broad church here, not just the Lutheran church. So I'm actually wanted to talk to you today and do. Before we go on, do you have any... two or three people want to just make a reflection that they want to just get out there for the whole group before we even get too far into this.
I come with...
And tell me your name.
I'm Jerry O'Neill. I'm
okay,
here on sabbatical.
Sorry, Jerry, okay.
And one of my areas I'm focusing on is this issue of music in the church and emphasizing participation. And so your title brings me here right away. I guess I come with a particular interest in my role as song leader, worship leader, and to what extent I can be involved without actually inhibiting the participant, where I become more of the person to watch and listen to rather than to engage them in meaningful singing. So that's something I bring to this that I'm hoping that will be addressed.
And that is always, that's always true. Even when we are, I mean, sometimes the reason the church sometimes has song leaders in a massive gathering is because it's just absolutely too hard to integrate all these people singing together. But I think, and also you have to do it very quickly. People learn music very quickly and achieve some ability with it right away. And so I think that's an advantage of a song leader in that kind of situation. But I think many times you stand almost in a bridge between the gathering, the people's song in a sense, and maybe there might be some musicians or accompaniment or something like that going on behind you and trying to make that work coming together. And so... I'll just lay out some of my prejudices right away. When I song lead, I don't like to sing into the mic, and if I do sing into the mic, it's only to teach something and then hear the response. I think the song belongs to the people, and I don't know how much I could possibly argue this, because I really see it, the songs being taken away from the people, and it really bothers me. People, listen to people sing. And they're getting about three quarters of it, and then they're not getting one quarter of it. And they're not getting it today, and you sing that same number 2 days from now, and they're not getting it then. And you sing that number 4 weeks from now, and they still don't get 25% of that song. And that's just irresponsible on our part as leaders and musicians. Those songs need to belong to the people. And if they can't sing that in their car or sing that out in the woods, then that's not their song. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't ever sing. I do it all the time. I'm absolutely nuts about new music, and that's one of my faults when I was a pastor, is always trying to slide in new,
music, and I was always pressing the choir just a little bit further than they wanted to go and trying to keep them happy while I was just pressing. That's one of my faults. I'm not saying no new music in the church, but then when we do it with care, that we take some time before the worship service, and I know we've always have to negotiate that with the organist, if there's an organist, because they're counting on their prelude, but take some time before the service so that when the music, new music comes, the people can sing it. And at least a refrain. I mean, if it's a song with, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but if we're going to differentiate between hymns and songs, hymns, which are, you know, good solid four-part, and song, I'm thinking more of a melodic line, which maybe everybody is singing in unison. But when we present that we at least give them the refrain. So at least they can do something, the people can do something well. Dan.
As a non-musician and not a very good singer, I always think of this as an inclusiveness issue, that there has to be something that I can sing, because I love to sing, but I need help, or I at least need, and it's not like you, it's not that I don't want new music, but I need some help in order to be a part of it, and not feel that I'm being excluded by the experts. And my mother has often said about Sheena that it's a good thing we're not musicians, because then we'd be totally unbearably bossy. I don't want to be shut out of it.
Yeah.
And so that's just from a non-musician to affirm what you're saying as true, and that the church especially, and I don't mind so much if I go to the sing it yourself Messiah and I can't do it, that's fine. That's a different issue.
That's different.
But in church.
But this is the people.
Right.
This is the gathered people of God making song together. And it belongs to them. And if it's not belonging to them, we have to take a look at how we're doing it. And I realize we're fighting with media and we're saying we have to do worship very, very well or people won't come. And I agree with that. So that means you take, you know, you make access to a choir of sorts that serves the people, not to sing an anthem, and I know once in a while you have to have them sing an anthem or they won't come to choir practice anymore. I know all about that. But that they just constantly remind that we're here. When I'm leading worship as a musician, I'm here to serve. I'm here to help the people sing the song that belongs to them. And if I'm getting in the way of that, if they have to listen to my voice over a microphone the whole time, they can't hear each other. And then I can't hear if they're getting it. Or if the instrumentals are so active over here that they don't have any idea if the people are getting the music. Just kidding. I can tell I get a little bit worked up.
I would just like to say that there isn't much that compels me to go to church anymore. But one of the things that does is singing with people.
That's right.
I would say the same thing.
Okay.
And I also say with Amy, a couple of summers ago, would she do a program for the musically challenged?
Oh, what we do in our church, if we have a new hymn, or one that we feel the people aren't familiar with, the organist will play it through once, so you get the melody, maybe play just the melody, and then we'll sing it once, and before we sing it in the service.
Excellent.
And then we'll do that hymn maybe for the whole month. We'll have it for the hymn of the week.
Sure.
We'll have it for the whole month. And by that time, then it's, you know, it's about the words. Know it.
Almost
and then
more.
The next time you want to have it, they know it.
Excellent.
Even here, Holden could follow that example.
Well, you all, amen, but amen. I've been excluded here, and I think I do pretty well.
Well, some like the Task Jordan Matins is really hard.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
And hard.
But hard. And it would help some, even if we went through it a little bit.
And how we could do that simply is to just simply take that Matins and do one teeny little section in a regular Matins service. And then the next day add another little section, and it should, needs to be taught. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad, I argue with Artemis about this. When you introduce the song, you don't play the whole harmony.
No.
You play it, and probably play it in octaves, so that men too can really hear it in their range. And learn it. And if they don't get it, I mean, I don't know how to, I always say this to people, and it's so embarrassing. It's the hardest thing I ever do when I song lead, because I think I'm getting people really bored. If they don't get it, break it down. Do it again. Don't start from the beginning and go through the whole stupid song again. Get the spot they're having trouble with. And why don't we just do something so we can kind of practice this together? And what I really like to do is have other people come up and teach something, and I pick on them, but that's different.
Well, it's just so very important. It's worth rehashing, even if it's just seconding and saying amen to what's already said. So amen. Really important.
That's right.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
No, that's why we're all right here.
Especially
you're not the one here. No,
I think I do.
Especially the comment from back there, Mrs. Ray, it's just not enough for the organist to tootle through it. People have got to actually physically get into it.
That's right.
For the preparation.
Now, David, you mentioned that the new matins are what's new to so many people. Don't you think, too, that if we could go through those things slower, you know, it goes so fast, and you're reading words,
you're doing
words,
the top of music,
and you really don't get it, so it becomes
I've been so
worshipful, not anything.
Worship at all.
It's just an
exercise. But if you just took one section and taught that, then the rest of it could be worship.
Slowly
and then
enough, you could learn the how it goes and hear the words.
That's right. And let me just take this another dimension. I do think, I don't know how many people I can get to agree with you on this one. I think in part of giving the songs back to the people is there ought to be some music, wherever it is, certainly in settings like this, certainly in Bible camps, but even also in our churches, in which there is some memory happening. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, and Jen and I talked about the guitar, and because he plays it, and I said, no, let's not do it. I was very intentional today that we would do some music without instruments. And when you teach, unless maybe you've got a flute doing the melody or something, just teach without instruments and then add instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Add gestures or clapping or anything after, words, tune, so people have it. They have control of it. And then if you want four parts, maybe the second day, four parts, but not the first day. Because you've got all kinds of people out there just regular folk, and the songs belong to them, the people of God. It's the people of God's music here.
When you said memory associated with song, explain it in my head.
Let's do it.
Okay.
But there's a lot of different kind of music you can do it for. Of course, we've got just our wonderful Lutheran tradition, and I love it. I love it. I want to be clear about that. And my favorite services are mixed up, where you put some different, so that people can connect. Some, at least maybe half of it, they don't connect to the whole thing. But I really like to mix things up. Get a little Bach or Handel in there if you want something, Amazing Grace, it's done really, really well. I like to mix things up with people because you've got a variety of people who are entering your doors, not all Lutherans.
Okay.
I'd like if you would tell me your names each time you speak. We've been in classes before, and I still...
George.
George? Yes, I thought it was George. I almost said George. Okay, good. That makes me feel better. I know your name. Oh, yeah.
Well, memory and the... how did you put it? The Lutheran heritage or the tradition? There is a problem with that green book, tripping over memories. A lot of us learned a lot of these same liturgical responses, but different. But they've done changed enough in the green book, so we fall on our face. Now, to a certain point, we don't mind falling on our face. We just blurt out.
Now, I don't mind opening up and using a book for liturgy because I want that person who walks in the door to feel comfortable. But if I'm sitting there without it, using my book.
It's a little hard, even looking at a book with a familiar tune, to get into the spirit of it, and all of a sudden the tune is not the same as it was that I learned.
Okay, that's right. We've done that.
But we've had that Greek book for a long time now.
George is as slow as I am.
You're as slow as Mark.
I'm just having so much fun.
One of the things that strikes me in my experience here at Holland is that when we do the African Freedom Songs, and we have a Eucharist service that Jaleel Sarkar wrote that uses those, many people get that, and I think they get it immediately. And they say, oh, we should always do music like that, that's so accessible. And what strikes me about it is it has exactly the same rhythm as 1950s rock and roll. So that there's a memory, that we know something that we bring to it. It's not that it's natural, it's that it matches something we've already learned. And so that I think it's really important when we talk about music and worship in general to say it's all learned. None of it comes naturally. We're always learning, but to figure out what do we know that can help us with what we're doing that's new.
John Ulosaka talks about that so well because he said when he gets music that people really, really like, he generally finds out eventually that there's some tune or interval that they heard before. And I've always hated that song, American Family Insurance. I've always hated that since I was tiny. And that's the same as Amigos de Cristo. I feel guilty about because I know everybody loves it.
I know.
I don't play
it's the same as what?
Amigos
de Cristo. And I
know you
don't know,
words are nice, and I feel real guilty about it because people just that song, and I've had to teach it. I've had 2,000 people love that song, and I found out why I didn't like it after many years, and he said, well, that's the American Family Insurance. And you know, they could sing it right away, and you're right.
See, all that was an interesting point.
That's true. Can you show us how it should be done? No,
I mean, I'm a song lady?
Yeah.
I was planning to do that.
You're the leader, so go ahead and do it.
Your husband's giving you permission.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wow. Well, let me just say, before I start, there are a lot of different music, and I know we'll run out. Kind of thinking this would be fun to do for a 2-hour session sometime, but
we'll come back.
There's a lot of different ways to do music in the church, and there are rounds, and we can do those. And sometimes it might be, if it feels complicated, you might have a choir doing it with the congregation, or you might have an instrument doing it with the congregation. But you can do rounds, and there's simple ones, and there's ones in our hymn book, for instance, that come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread. Now that's a wonderful number. Not only because it's, I think it's Nigeria. I can't remember. And we just have a few international numbers in our hymn book, not much, but just a few. Anyway, you can do it as a call response, so it's, then you go, or you can do the round. Let me see. Well, let's do it. You do it back and forth. You know this one, right? This is one of those things that nobody should ever have their hymn book for. You don't know it. Who said they don't know
it? I don't.
Okay, good. I like that.
All right. See, I don't want to be left out if people are going to
say
that.
That's important to know that. And the words are, come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread.
Okay.
Repeat that for everybody.
Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread.
Once more, I think.
Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread.
That's a communion number.
Okay.
And I stayed up too late last night, so you just have to endure my singing here. Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread, and sing it with me.
Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread.
Now that, how people do it in the hymn book is they go, come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread. Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread. That's the first half of the song. Mm-hmm. That's very boring to do it like that. If you just have a leader do one line and the congregation responds, and forget the hymn book. They changed one note in the hymn book on one of the lines, mm-hmm. just to make it so you aren't supposed to not use the hymn book. But we'll just chuck that note and forget the hymn book and have somebody do a call and response. So We'll do that first part again. I'll sing it and you all respond, okay?
Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread.
Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread.
Good. And the next line goes, Our Lord's body, let us take together. Is that right? This shows that I'm 43. Let me look at it really quickly here.
Oh, small one.
This is my kids really give me a hard time. That's right. This is the other problem.
I'm going out there. I can hold the point. Right.
That's not it.
I think, aren't there some LBWs?
Here, 214. I put 4 on here, but I don't want you to cheat.
No, we're just a kid. We're
so you can come back. Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread. Our Lord's body, let us take together.
Okay.
There we go. I said it right, didn't I? Uh-huh. Okay. Our Lord's body, let us take together.
Our Lord's body, let us take together.
Our Lord's body, let us take together. Now, we're not going to learn all the verses. Because once you get the hang of this, you really can follow the person's lines and get it pretty well. But let's do the first one here.
Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread.
Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread.
Our Lord's body, let us take together.
Our Lord's body, let us take together.
And it goes on. You can do some more verses. But another way you can do that is in the simple round.
Come, let us eat, for now the
feast is spread.
Come on, come up here and do that with me. You can help me.
Did she point to you? I think you're her.
I think so.
Okay, stand on my left here.
Oh, yeah.
I can use my right hand.
We're listening, though.
Now, I'll just bring these people in, and you just keep it going. Don't get fooled by what they're doing, okay? You're going to lead it.
Come, let us eat, for now the wine
is spread. Let us eat, for now the feast is spread.
Now you missed your next thing.
Why don't you try the other
body,
honey?
Okay, here it goes. Start again. So if you're introducing the number the very first time, you do it the boring way if you want to. I think better have somebody just lead it and have people respond.
A lot depends upon the organist, too.
You don't need an organist. We need to dump the organist once in a while.
Yeah.
I could have my mother or people like me, piano players get upset here. You know, what we need to get our people listening to music and hearing it in their heads and
And each other.
And each other.
Now, see, I quickly figured out she knew what she was doing. So I thought, okay, there's my cue.
Yes, and she knew it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The force of that a cappella is in our worship service, and the organist, who is wonderful, drops out at the pre-communion, and it's completely in response to the liturgist, and the congregation just matches that.
Absolutely.
And it's so fine, because they see the power of that response.
So great.
And that's really, communion is a perfect...
Well, even people without a lot of musical background really can do quite a bit of music.
Yes, that's right.
And they can, and even people that think they can't sing very well, usually if you could put something in, at least some of your music in that comfortable range where your liturgy usually is, people can do at least to the liturgy and part of the hymns. Let's do another one, and I wonder, I'm kind of hoping you don't know this, which maybe you do, but it's good if you don't, so then we can really learn it. Oh boy, that is a problem. Joel's here, I bet he knows this one too. But Ubi Lati Deo, the round, the old Praetorius round.
Lati Deo.
How many people know that? Oh, good.
That's okay.
That's good. I'm glad you don't know it, because that's not real easy, but it's a round, and I want to see if we can do it here. And I have a feeling we're not all musicians here. As I That's good. That makes it kind of a normal situation.
Yeah, just like church.
Okay, the words are Ubi Lati Deo. And since I have something, why don't I write it down? I'll give you that much of a break here. I suppose Dale should be capitalized. I don't know. Dale, God, I don't know.
Oh, no.
That's all right.
Ubi Lati Deo. Ubi Lati Deo. And it means praise to God. Try it.
Ubi Lati Deo.
Oh, you're really good.
But you know, I didn't get that on your first uttering.
No. See, that's very normal.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I have to be listening too, because if people aren't getting it, then if I'm the song leader, I want to try to bring everybody on board. Okay, now this one goes really high and goes really low. Are you bored already? Are you doing okay?
No.
Okay.
We're doing okay.
Okay, it goes really high.
Here we go.
ever learned in my life. I learned it about 25 years ago, and I've never heard around when it's done. And you have to work with people on a number like this. Done, it's more beautiful as a round. If people can actually learn, like the other rounds out there that people can't learn that are better. You know, let's just try this half of the group singing it, and we'll just listen here, okay?
Okay.
Oh.
We're listening. We can learn, and right away, if there's a problem, you can sort of pick it out a little bit easier. It's really, really works. If any kids are ever giving you a hard time, right away, you have those poor people singing. Even though I'm short, I've never had trouble with kids because I just zap right in on them when they're singing. Okay. Now let's have this side. You have to listen. There we go. Now, besides Judd, who knew this round before? Okay, Linda, come up here and help me. You didn't. I told you if you came here, you had to work, didn't I? Yeah. I can't believe anybody comes to my. Okay. Now, where this really gets me. This really gets me. Now, right now, we still sound like. We don't really sound like monks or nuns from the 16th century, do we?
No.
We're working on that. We're going to work on that. We're going to keep working on that. Think of monastery way back. What's that?
Where do you breathe?
Well, that's true. That's the breathing is part of the problem. Okay. We'll do it two parts. And here, stand on my left hand. And then we'll start over here. And then what's neat about this is the dissonance. So it goes, and it just goes.
Yeah.
It's really pretty. Okay, so let's. Just enough, or should we go? Let's go right here. Because there's more people in here. Okay? Can you guys start? And then. And crescendo into that, and we'll come in. And this thing can go six parts once you know it. Six parts? We might not do six today. You guys know six parts. I know two here for sure. Okay.
Give me a pitch.
It's good music.
It feels it's so
and, pretty. It's so pretty. Well, let's do one time through again and see if we can think a little bit more monastic and a little less. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Break it down. Whenever you do music, see, right away we start to think, people are going to, I know this because I've done this for so many years in my life, and I work on music with people, and then all of a sudden I realize they're not feeling something. Like, if we would come back tomorrow, you wouldn't be able to sing this.
We would or would
you? You would not. And then I think, teacher, and if I make these people work on it again, they're going to feel bad. No, they know they almost have it. They really want you to work on it. You know, pick up what you mess up tomorrow would be that little phrase in the second part that we have. You'll miss it. You'll miss la. And it'll be a little bit too low. And then you'll be feeling bad because you know it doesn't quite sound right. And you don't know the song. You can't teach it to anybody else. And, you know, so that happens in the teacher feels bad, because, oh my goodness, I didn't. Just work on it again. You work on something with people, and they've got that little phrase they're not getting. And we had some music in the Holden Marty Halgen piece. And they said, okay, now, Verlon, Pastor Brown, who I just adore and wish I could preach like, said, okay, now the staff knows it. Well, did you listen?
It was sad.
And I have to say it's a new staff because there's some sections, even in Marty Halgen, who is very easy to sing, that they weren't getting. And maybe nobody felt permission, maybe the present musicians didn't feel permission because they learned it later, to stop and say, hey guys, we have to learn this. Mm-hmm. We're not getting this section. So then you can't really lead very comfortably together because you're really not all that sure about what you're doing. And that's why I think, I can't emphasize it enough. When you lead music, break it down. And whenever somebody isn't getting something, come back to it, and it's not bad. I'm not a horrible teacher because somebody but maybe everybody else in the group doesn't remember it, but maybe they learned that thing 10 years ago and they don't remember that they learned it, but they've got a little memory of it, and you don't have any memory at all. Mm-hmm. Come on a seat. So then you're saying, wait a second, I didn't get that. Say it again. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people won't do that.
but you come back and help those people get the song. And I don't know how to argue that enough. That's the number one thing I see not happening. And we're filling it up with instruments over here, yep. So we can't hear the people.
Yep.
We can't hear the people. They're singing their song. And people can't hear themselves either. They don't know if they're getting it. Well, they know they're not getting it.
Great.
I have a comment.
Oh, and I just came in. So maybe you discussed this before. But I think one of the big problems, too, is that the congregation is not made up largely of musicians. And they do not feel comfortable. I've seen, I've been a director of music, and when I go and sit in the congregation, I see people that finally just sometimes close their books and put it away. If they don't know it, you don't rise and can't.
Absolutely right. Give the music back to people. And we are not ever show people up here. If we're, I realize that sometimes when I direct, I move a little bit with my body, but that's to help people sing.
Yeah.
And if we're not, we're not ever here to for people to hear our voices, or for people to hear us how well we play our instruments, or how well, we're not here for us to demonstrate our musical ability, no matter how good it is. We are here to serve the people's song. And I might be in trouble for saying that, but I feel that with all my heart. And if I can't hear them singing, if I don't know if they're getting it, then I'm not doing my job. If I am a musician in the church and helping to lead.
See, I felt nobody cared if I participated in the evening worship here. I felt the piano and the synthesizer and everything else went on noisily, and finally I decided not to bother.
Well, I think sometimes we have to give our musicians permission to lead and train.
Uh-huh.
I've been asked to song lead in many occasions, and I have found it almost impossible to lead, to be the song leader, if somebody doesn't introduce me and ask me now to lead, so that the community and that person on behalf of the community is asking you to lead them, so you don't just walk up there and folks, this is the way we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's not the community giving you permission. And so then if somebody on behalf of the community invites you, or says, hear now from our song leader, or we'll hear now from our musician, and invite, please come, this is it, then you're on. Or if you're in a community where that's already established, that person would do that. But I think that's probably more of what's going on here. We're not doing that. It's more that we haven't really made it clear that those people are responsible for us learning the music and not just our entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
I think too, a lot of people who know it, and maybe it's assumed that everybody knows it, these different orders of service.
And that's why if we listen, and we put down our instruments, and we listen, we can tell right away. I can tell, I might not be able to pick out one person, but I can tell if three or four people, or if it's a larger group, if a block of 8 or 9 people are not getting something. Hear that. If you're listening, if you're completely involved, and I really pick on accompany instruments about that, but we are a company. And that we would wait until the people have the song before we start to go to camps. And the camp is crazy now. We have all these people, musicians, and nobody's learning the songs, and the kids, my kids go, and they're actually pretty good musicians, my 3 children. And they go, and they've got about 3/4 of the song. They come home, and they've got about 3/4 of the song in the car. And, it's great. Drives me nuts. And, what's going on? Is there somebody's up there? And, I've talked to my older sister, who's a very fine musician. She said, I just can't hear the melody. I don't know where the notes are. I can't learn it. We can. They've got all that stuff going on. I really appreciate what your church does there. People can take back that music. It is their music. You want to see it? I don't know how. You think you went too long?
You don't come on.
No, okay. Okay. I had about 6 more things we were going to do here. Songs. But how are you feeling about this? Is this okay?
Good.
We love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're a recovery group here.
Yeah. All right. Just 1 minute. Let me just say one other thing, and I wanted to introduce you. We ran out of time. I wanted to introduce you to several different kinds of music that are all really quite quite easy to learn and still lovely number from Argentina. I think some of the wealth in our music right now is some of our international music that we're receiving from two-thirds world and from other places in the world and other traditions, our Jewish tradition, our Black American tradition, just goes on and on. And I had a list. I was going to try to give you just a few different pieces of different kinds, and that call and response and refrains. There's a number of ways to give this music back to the people. If you think it's too difficult, you have a leader singing the verses, but you always make sure everybody can do the refrain. Now, let's go right
I was just going to ask if you discussed the fact, or if there's a feeling among the people here that the kids don't know the hymns anymore. I hear this from a lot of people. The kids don't know the hymns that we sing in church on Sunday.
Yes. And, you know, we could take, now we don't have, it's a problem in our hymn book because it's sexist and, you know, militaristic and a number of other things that are going on in our hymn book, so we kind of sweat it out with that. But there are some hymns in there. And I thought about Lord of All, Hopefulness. Is a number that, if I were in the church, I would try to teach children that wonderful hymn. And I would try to find, and if we had more time, we'd do that. We could do that together. Walk and take a look at some of those hymns that people could memorize and teach it to our kids, and they love it. Now, Judd and I have taught our children some hymns and some of the cousins, nephews, and nieces some hymns for a special family occasion. They love it. They still want to sing. And it blew me away at the installation, at my installation, because I had asked Anton Armstrong, who's the director at St. Olaf, to lead the choral music and asked him to lead free music during the communion, which we talked about some of that. And he did Amazing Grace and a couple other familiar ones, which people sang along very well. And then he did, which is kind of sexist him. And we hadn't talked about this one, but he did. I'm glad he did. Children of the Heavenly Father, and the entire, and there were Roman Catholics there. There were people from different faiths there, but you could hear four parts, and everybody sang. And there were all the children there, too. And but that was the number that went the best during the free time. Oh. That's part of it because they're Lutherans. Yeah. Uh-huh. But even so, that it was four-part, and it was a cappella, no instrument. It's gorgeous. And we do need to give back some four-part music to our people. That's one of the things we need to give back, is four-part music. And teach the parts. You teach them a melody one time, and then the next Sunday, why not? Teach the altos. People love it. There's one congregation in my synod that knows, this isn't four-part, but they know that Our Father, that old kind of mushy Our Father. And they all know it. When they get to that, they all sing it together. There's 200 people. Wham! Every Sunday they sing their Our Father.
And Our Father.
It's the old one.
It's a little
schmaltzy, but they love it, you know. And it's the old one that was sung at all things.
Weddings. Yeah.
What is the I and D?
Break it down. Good.
More to this formula. I thought that was all B.
No. Just break it down. And I really think that's absolutely the key thing. I was going to say you can divide it out, too. You can divide it out and you're having trouble. And I love to split in and take just a few people here and have them do it. And you really test that everybody else is listening because they're worried you're going to call on them next. And it really works. It's a lot better than just having the whole group keep doing it. You'll be like, okay.
Terror really works.
And it works when you're working with a congregation too. Okay, these pews, right? Then you got everybody looks like crazy.
I'm in a congregation where we do a lot of different liturgies and a lot of different new music, and I'm in the worship committee, and in my opinion, our current problem is our organist, who comes from a more classical tradition, and her response to what we're doing in our church is, this is potato chips, and if people like potato chips, we can do it, but we're not doing steak. I'm just wondering if you would like to sort of address a comment to musicians who have attitudes like that.
I wonder if she is uncomfortable because I think there is some stake in some of our good music.
Yeah, and I'm not a musician, so I don't feel like I have
no
musician type answer.
No, there is some stake there, and yes, it might be in a sense of a melody line or something like that, the complex music of some of our wonderful composers, but still really good. And what I've noticed is that for a lot of people who are trained classically, which is my training, it's a jump and a difficulty to move into some contemporary music that is good. Mm-hmm. And feel, I mean, one of the things we have to do is, we gotta listen up. You know, two-thirds of the world just, they cannot believe that we can sing without moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. just stunned that we can sing without moving. They think that's impossible. So one of the things is that maybe, and that's hard with your organist. I mean, if she were even somebody that maybe just even loosen up her body a little bit, other than maybe she's loosening up here, but maybe she can't, would help her to get into some of the rhythms of some of the international music that is now, some of it's very good. And there's some American music that's very, very good.
And then she can still have her classical prayer.
But see, she's probably, a lot of classical musicians I've noticed when I've worked, and I like to do both. Like I said, I'm going to do some classical, maybe some Handel or something with a choir, and then maybe sink in some South African freedom song or something like that. Well then, you've got somebody who, my goodness, I was never taught how to chord. I may be one of the finest pianists that went through Luther College, but I don't know how to chord. You give me a note, and I can't do anything over here without something written out. See, that's very unnerving. Mm-hmm. That's an accomplished musician that's saying, wait a second, I don't feel very accomplished here. And I think that might be part of it. I don't know if that helps you with it, but just to maybe understand what's going on with her.
Does she let you speak?
Of course.
Oh, that's
fine.
Well, I was just going to say, just reflecting you, that one other dynamic might be a control issue. Mm-hmm. That when you're doing classical music, the organist is a professional church, and you get all this other stuff, and she might feel that her control is being taken away by the committee. It might be a power struggle as much as
and the quality.
If you sat down with that person and asked her about how can we teach this to people, make sure, and how do we know when they know it? Because if we just cover it up with our instruments, and I realize instruments really help a lot because people feel like they can sing because there's noise there. I mean, acapella is scary for people. You don't want to do that all the time. Just once in a while, drop the organ out and maybe do a four part on something that's really familiar or like what you were talking mm-hmm. about.
But I see the difference too is a philosophical difference between performance and something that is the people's music and that has the running argument.
But I think you can really press musicians and eventually start thinking about it and listening, that even musicians who might have been trained to move towards performance and forgotten about that they're serving the people, that you could get them back into it by gathering together as a group and start asking questions. How can we get the people to sing? How can we have our children sing and not junk music? We appreciate that you do good music. What can we do? If you would play the melody and we would practice before the service.